Transportation and Modal Subcommittee will now come to order. Margarita, please call the roll.
Chair McFarland?
Here.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Here.
Ranking Member Hinson?
Here.
Representatives Andrade is excused. Arrington?
Here.
Bankson?
Here.
Basabe?
Here.
Edmonds?
Here.
Escamani?
Here.
Esposito?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Lopez?
Here.
Mello is excused. Michael?
Here.
Nixon?
Here.
Porras?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Stark?
Here.
Quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Margarita. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Folks, before we begin, please remember to silence all electronic devices. And members, we have five bills on the agenda today. Thank you for being with us today on a Friday morning, our first week of session 2023. First up will be HB 893 by Representative Brannon.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members of the committee for having me here on a Friday morning and present House Bill 893. After I was elected in 2018 in my first session in the legislature in 2019, I was honored to work on a project to name 38 sections of highway across the state for Florida State troopers killed in the line of duty. It was quite a project to put all that together, but working with the Highway Patrol, we accomplished that. This bill is a continuation of that work that we started back then and creates two more honorary designations of transportation facilities, and that's just a fancy word for usually an interchange or stretches of highway. These two officers that we're honoring today were from Jacksonville, two Jacksonville Sheriff's officers killed in the line of duty that have never been recognized. The first officer is Scott Bell. Scott Bell was born and raised in Maryland. He joined the Navy after high school and served over 20 years, retiring in Jacksonville, desiring to continue his life as a public servant. Officer Bell pursued a second career with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and he proudly served as a patrolman for 7 years. Officer Bell was killed in the line of duty on October 12, 2007, when a vehicle being operated by an intoxicated driver pulled out in front of his patrol car. Officer Bell was survived by his wife, mother, and brother. The second officer we honor today is Officer Christopher Kane. He was born in 1970 in New York State. He served his country in the United States Marine Corps as a military police officer. After retirement, he joined the Sheriff's Office in Jacksonville. While there, during his 12 years of service at the Sheriff's Office, he also obtained a bachelor's degree in business. Officer Kane was tragically killed on September 4, 2008, in an automobile accident in his patrol car in a construction zone. Officer Kane was survived by his wife, children, and brother. And that is the bill, and I believe we have a couple of amendments, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Brannon. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Hinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Brannon, for it's a very noble thing that you're doing. I have just one question. I see you're changing part of an interstate highway. Am I correct?
You're recognized, Representative Brannon.
We're just putting an honorary marker on an interstate highway. We're not changing the name of the highway. You'll pass several of those on Interstate 10 that we did a couple of years ago when you travel home this weekend. But no, it doesn't change the name of the...
I see. Thank you.
Just an honorary marker.
I see. Will you need any kind of... approval or yes?
Madam Chair.
Representative Brannon, you're recognized.
After this process, the local jurisdiction will have to approve doing that. Now, we've never had one turned down, but we do this first and then it goes back to the county or municipality. They approve it.
Members, any other questions? We have two amendments on the bill. Representative Brannon, you are recognized to explain amendment 877641.
Thank you, Chair. This is just a simple drafting change, a wording, clarifying in Jacksonville that beltway has been, when it was being built, was the east side of it was known as 9A. It's really part of Interstate 295. So we're just changing that one line to read that portion of State Road 9A, the east beltway 295, between Gate Parkway and then it continues to say, I believe, Bay Meadows Road. So it's just a drafted error.
Thank you, Representative Brandon. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Members, any debate on the amendment? And Representative Brandon, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I'll waive close.
Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We have another amendment by Representative Schoaf, Amendment 184139. Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. Deputy Michael Scott Williams served in the Taylor County Sheriff's Office after previously serving in the Brooksville Police Department. Deputy Williams served with honor until he was tragically killed on duty. Williams' police car collided with a logging truck on October 31st, 2016, while on duty. Taylor County would like to recognize and honor Deputy Williams by requesting the portion of U.S. 19 in Taylor County be named Michael Scott Williams Parkway from Beach Road to Highway 19 and Highway 30. Second is Senior Inspector Rita Jane Hall served over 27 years in law enforcement. Inspector Hall served as a Tallahassee and a Monticello police officer, as well as an Inspector General with the Department of Corrections. Inspector Hall also served as an instructor at the Institute of Police Technology and volunteered with the Refuge House to support victims of domestic violence. Jefferson County would like to honor Inspector Hall's life and service by dedicating Interstate 10 from mile marker 222 to 228. And that is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Schoaf. Members, are there any questions on this amendment? Is there any public testimony? Members, debate on the amendment. Representative Schoaf, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended, and we now move to public testimony. We have Lisa Henning, the Fraternal Order of Police, waving in support. That is all our public testimony. We are back on the bill as amended. Oops, sorry. Now we're in debate. Representative Basabi, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, sir. If there's one thing that unites us all is the pain that we share from the loss of life. And I just wanted to commend you and thank you and send my respects out to all the families of our law enforcement officers that have been taken, their lives have been taken. Thank you for this bill.
Members, anyone else in debate? Representative Brandon, I'll just say to both you, Representative Brandon, and Representative Schoaf, thank you, gentlemen, so much for bringing this bill forward to commemorate Officers Bell and Officers Kane and Deputy Williams and Inspector Hall. I love that we do this in the state of Florida. As Floridians drive around our state, and I can think of, you know, maybe kids staring out the window, and they'll see the name on that marker and remember the heroes that have served our state and have served our communities. So thank you for honoring their memory and their legacy. Representative Brandon, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. It's always an honor, as of course, as a former 30-something-year law enforcement officer myself, to put forth this legislation every year. I would hope that as motorists travel and pass these markers, that they would be reminded that keeping the community safe is a dangerous job. These officers protected their fellow citizens, advanced the cause of justice, and established a tradition of service in their respective agencies that continues today. I would also hope that we always remember that it was not how these officers died that made them heroes, it was how they lived. May we never forget those who gave their lives in defense of ours and all that we hold dear. It is only fitting that we honor these officers in these locations. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Brandon. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives, Andrade is excused. Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Edmonds? Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Melo is excused. Michael?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
16 yeas, Zero nays, Madam Chair.
By your vote, HB 893 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Brandon and Representative Shoaf. We will now take up HB 1071 by Representative Duggan, presented today by Representative Roach, Drone Delivery Services. Representative Roach, you are recognized to explain House Bill 1071.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member Henson, colleagues, happy Friday. Good morning. I'm here pinch hitting for my colleague, Representative Duggan, presenting House Bill 1071. So this bill deals with an emerging technology that's sweeping the nation in drone delivery. And what this bill seeks to do is to provide a consistent and standardized regulatory framework so that this emerging technology can operate and be used for deliveries here in the state of Florida. The thrust of the bill is that it adds the definition of drone ports to the list of buildings exempted from regulation by the Florida Building Commission. And the bill also prohibits political subdivisions from withholding a business tax receipt, also known as an occupational license, that would prohibit a drone delivery service operation based on the location of the drone port. That is the bill, Madam Chair. Standing by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Roach. Members, any questions on the bill? Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. We meet again, Representative Roach.
Every day this week.
It's great to see you. I just read in the staff analysis that there was one drone company that is doing deliveries for Walmart in Florida. Do you know the name of that company and are there any other companies that are also doing these, you know, piloted drone deliveries?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, and it is indeed great to see you again. Good morning. Yes, there's a company that's partnered up with Walmart. They started partnering with Walmart in December of 22. It's a company called DroneUp, and I have a list here of all of the locations that they're currently operating in the state of Florida. I believe there are nine, anywhere from Claremont, Cypress Gardens, Tampa, Brandon, Florida, Claremont, Valrico, Florida, Newport Richey, Sefner, and Riverview. So they have seven stores that are offering a drone delivery service for $3.99 to customers within a one-mile radius. So, yes, they are partnering up with Walmart. The name of the company, in answer to your question, is called DroneUp.
Okay. Follow-up, Chair?
You're recognized.
Thank you so much. When I think about drones, my mindset is, you know, more like smaller devices, but could you describe the type of drones that are delivering groceries and items like that?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question. In fact, I cannot. I do not know what the size of these are or what the sort of, I guess, for lack of a better word that we would use in the military, the payload weight would be for these deliveries. And there may be some technical experts here that can speak on that in public comment. But no, I don't have any specs on the size of the drones or what how much of a load they're capable of carrying.
Okay. Follow-up, Chair.
Yeah, I will just add, too, that FAA has distinguished between small drones and large drones. I don't know the weight size difference, but it is a FAA size category. You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Chairwoman, for that expertise. My understanding is that the bill is preemptive in nature, so I'm curious, has there been a situation when local government has refused to issue, for example, a business tax receipt to a drone company, or is the company trying to get ahead of something before it happens, or has something already happened?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, and thank you for the question. Yes, I have, to my knowledge, I have three specific instances that I'm aware of. One was in Osceola County, which required a pre-application from Walmart before allowing even a temporary operation, which is the pre-application process in itself was very time-consuming and costly. And then in Orange County, there was an amendment requested or required for a land use plan to operate again temporarily, even without a permanent structure, which is the ultimate goal of these companies, to have a sort of drone operation structure, mm-hmm. which I believe some of you have seen the visuals on that. And then in Seminole County, which is the third one that I'm aware of, we're looking to require an approval from a zoning and planning division for even a temporary operation. Those are the three that I'm aware of. And then I think also, to answer your question, I think it's also an attempt to get ahead of it and just standardize, to bring some sort of industry-wide standard to how these things can operate. Because, you know, like every other emerging technology, there's going to be some wrinkles. If you think back to when, Uber first came to Florida and what a legislative sort of triage that was of trying to mash that uniform regulatory code for that emerging technology in the state of Florida. I think this is similar in nature. And no doubt moving forward into the future, there will be other unforeseen things that pop up regulating this or whatever kind of flying vehicles we may have in the future.
Okay. Representative Edmonds, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Roach, for presenting this bill. I have two questions. My first question is, by chance, do you know the average square footage or the height of the drone ports that are going to be built?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you. Yeah, I do. I have seen the models for these. It's technically, it would be considered three stories, but it's really two stories and what's like a, almost a large chimney, which is kind of a weather port on these structures. And my understanding right now is that the ones that are in operation are mostly like a tent type temporary structure. Was there a part two to your question?
Yeah. Can I follow up? Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. My second question is, if this is in a partnership with Walmart, most Walmarts are in middle to low income communities. We're all familiar with the term NIMBY, not in my backyard. So I'm just wondering, what rights would residents have if essentially they don't want this in their backyard or next to their neighborhood?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you. Yeah, good question. So one of the things that we're seeking to do with the statutory language, and it's in the staff analysis, it's in the bill, but we're defining what actually is considered a drone port, which is what these structures are. It's considered a drone port, where they operate the drone from. But we're defining that here as any area of non-residential land or water which is used or intended for use by a drone delivery service for the landing and takeoff of drones. Now, that's the technical definition. Now, in practice, what is happening is these structures are located on the site of the business. So these structures that we're talking about now, the temporary structures are in the Walmart, usually in the Walmart parking lot, and these more permanent structures that we're looking to put in place or allow Walmart to put in place would be on the Walmart commercial site. They're not going to be embedded in neighborhoods. And I'm going to expand just a little bit. This is outside the scope of your question, but I think it's important to bring up when you're talking about having Walmarts near low-income communities, one of the benefits of this, I mean, these drone operators can literally be an 18-year-old kid. I'm not even sure they require a high school degree, and the starting pay is around $55,000 to essentially play a video game, drive these drones around, and deliver things from Walmart. So I think that there's also great economic opportunity in the employment of the folks who are going to be operating and maintaining these, not just the drone ports, the drone structures, but the drones and then driving the vehicles themselves.
You're recognized for a follow-up, Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I am in support for this bill, and I love the services Walmart gives, and I think this is evolutionary of all the technology that's going on. But I'm just, is that my fault? No, I'm just talking.
Madam Chair, permission to go around the podium.
Yep, Devin, go for it.
It is Friday, so it's understandable.
Thank you, Madam Chair, we're going to blame that on Representative Duggan.
So is there just any rights for any residents to appeal if they feel like this is obstructing their view from the coastline, which most of my residents really hate in my community? And so I just want to know if there's any rights that residents may have to appeal.
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Yeah, thank you. You know, there are no rights sort of codified in this bill that would not already exist in law. But I would tell you this, if the idea is that these are going to sort of impede the view, I mean, keep in mind, we're talking about really a 2.5-story structure that would be on like a Walmart parking lot. I can't envision, and maybe it's possible that really obstructing someone's view of like a waterway or something scenic. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a Walmart built on the coast somewhere in Florida. I'm sure. I won't say there's not. I think there's 360 something Walmarts in Florida. But no, I did not envision that. Did not put anything in the bill to that. But if that's something you identify as a problem we want to talk about, I'll charge Representative Duggan with having that conversation with you.
Thank you, Rep. Roach. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hinson, you are recognizing questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Rep. Roach. Can you please explain why these drone ports should be exempt from the building code?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Yes, and there is an amendment coming up that's going to talk about a little bit of this, but you know, the problem that we're running into is it's an issue of standardization and certainty and regulatory certainty in the market, but the Florida Building Code requires a separate stairwell and a sprinkler fire suppression system for any building that's three stories or higher. And when you're looking at what these are, and I I'm not sure if some folks have visited and brought the diagram of what this, what these structures look like. It literally, it's two stories, and I would describe it as a wide chimney, which is a weather port. And the cost to build a separate stairwell and a fire suppression system in these small things, which now are operating in tents, is over $1 million. So it's really cost prohibitive. And I would also add that, you know, this is not anything novel. If you look at page 4 of the staff analysis, there's a long list there of other buildings and structures and facilities that are currently exempt from the Florida Building Code for many of these same reasons. Some of them have to do with structures on farm. Some of them have to do with temporary sheds that are used for construction purposes while they're building a facility. Some have to do with electric utilities. Some have to do having even to do with family mausoleums and burial plots here. But this is not, we're not doing anything new or untoward here. There's already a long list in current law where folks have gone before legislatures like this and looked at the cost to what otherwise was a well-intentioned regulation and how it can be kind of absurd in some cases. And I think this would fall into one of those cases.
You recognize for a follow-up.
Thank you. So will anyone in building codes look at this for its approval, or our approval will be the approval?
Representative Hinton, I'm going to let the questions proceed, but just to soothe everyone for having more of these local type questions, it does have a stop at local affairs next, which is...
Oh, okay.
Representative Hinton has me rattled up here. What can I say?
Excuse me. It goes to the local administration stop next, which is perhaps a better stop to iron out some of these zoning questions. But because I love to see Representative Roach just knocking things over, I'm going to let him continue to answer that question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is going to be a day today. Okay. Representative Hinton, my understanding of how this works is that this body will tell the building code and we'll put into statute what those exemptions and exceptions are, which we've already done on those that are outlined in page 4. So my understanding of how that will work is we will tell them what the exceptions are, and then they will write some rules or regulations to try to put those into practice.
Recognize for follow-up.
Thank you. And as Chair McFarland has mentioned, they will be going into local neighborhoods. I'm hoping that local government will be involved to say something about this particular port being placed in their city and where best it should be placed.
Chair?
You're recognized.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up to that. Yes, I'm certain they will be involved. And then when you look at the, I think, the 9 locations that are already operating in the state of Florida, they have been involved. And to all appearances, it has been a great success in delivering supplies to local residents and employing people as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Nixon, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep, I'm interested in knowing a little bit more regarding the preemption piece, kind of going down the line of questioning that Rep Escamani went, because I want to know, like, what were the issues? Why do you... this may be a little outside the scope, but, I mean, it just helps clarify for us what were the issues that the local governments were having with issuing these permits for these buildings.
Representative Roach, you're recognized to explain to the extent that you're able.
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it, and I think I understand what you're asking. And you know, I don't know that there are so much issues, but I think it's an emerging technology, and not only is it an emerging technology, but it's an emerging business model to have an aircraft delivering things to your personal residence. It's something new, and anytime we have something new that hasn't been envisioned by this legislature in terms of putting sort of a standard operating procedure in place in the law, you're going to have, you know, 412 different municipalities in the state of Florida and 67 different counties putting their own regulations and rules in place the best that they can. And when you have that sort of regulatory inconsistency, it's just very hard for a business owner to come up with a business model or a plan that's going to satisfy potentially 412 different sets of regulations about how these things operate. So the goal here with this legislation is to standardize the rules of the game so that the business owner or the operator can have a consistent regulatory framework within which to operate, to streamline the costs and then the efficiencies of doing business in this manner in the state of Florida. So that's what we're hoping to do. And again, I would go back to some of the other technologies that we've dealt with over the last decade. The most prominent example for me is Uber. When that first came online, you had literally many jurisdictions in Florida regulating these car services about what they can do at airports, what they can do in neighborhoods, and competing with taxis. And that was a huge legislative fight for many years until we developed some consistent regulatory framework for Uber in the state of Florida. And I think this is very similar to that. It's an emerging technology, an emerging business model to deliver a service to a consumer that we haven't seen before, and we're trying to put a standardized regulatory framework in place.
Representative Nixon, and a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just based on Florida having different geographies, rural, industrial, and just some residential areas, more commercial areas and things like that, you all don't feel that the local government should have a say in what actually happens because it might negatively impact their constituents? Is that what you're saying?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. This is, what the legislature does is sort of puts the guide rails in place writ large. And then, the local jurisdictions, of course, will certainly still have their own zoning and regulations, which they do now. I mean, you can't just go in anywhere and open up a Walmart. You still have to comply with the zoning regulations in those counties and even in those municipalities. So what we're envisioning now is sort of large commercial retailers like Walmart, which, as far as I know, is the only commercial operator in the state that has these on site, putting up what we're calling the drone towers to operate these things for delivery. So no, they're still going to have to comply with the local zoning regulations like they do now.
For a follow-up.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Does this legislation have anything around the operating times for these drones in it? Is there a time frame they can operate and a time frame they cannot?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. No, I don't believe this legislation has any specifics on when or how they can operate. And again, I think that would be a great example of what would be left to the locals to do.
Representative Harris, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to go back. I don't know which representative you were answering, but you had mentioned that these drone ports would be in a Walmart distribution center, and I'm just wanted to clarify is that like a separate building outside of a Walmart supercenter, or are the distribution centers within a Walmart supercenter? Because that maybe if they're just in a distribution center, the possibility of being in neighborhoods would be a lot less likely. But if it's at a supercenter, then that might be more inside of a neighborhood. So I just want that clarification. Thank you.
Senator Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you. So, great question. And I'm looking at the nine that are operating right now in Florida, and eight of them are at a Walmart supercenter. One is at a Walmart neighborhood market, which is in Blooming, in Riverview, Florida. And the ones that are at the supercenters, and I assume for the neighborhood market, it's true as well, they're operating on the Walmart site. These aren't sort of satellite locations, and they're operating right now in these little tents in the Walmart parking lot. So, and keep in mind, again, when I was speaking to Representative Edmonds, the definition here includes that they have to be non-residential. So if you pass this and put this in statute, the law will be that these cannot be in residential neighborhoods.
Representative Escobani for a question.
Thank you so much, Chairwoman. Representative, you mentioned just the cost prohibitive nature of the fire building code, which I know is your next amendment, but since you mentioned that, I'm curious, how is that cost prohibitive for a large corporation like Walmart that has billions of dollars in revenue every single year? How is that cost prohibitive to them?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Yeah, I think that it's not fair to only look at sort of how much money the company makes every year or the size of the company. I mean, just because a company's making billions of dollars a year in revenue, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know what their operating costs or overhead or employment costs would be. But look, I think any time you have a large company that's a publicly traded company with shareholders and you're looking at an emerging new technology, which does have some risk associated with it. I mean, are customers going to use this? To what extent are people going to pay $3.99 to have a pair of socks delivered by Walmart? I don't know. And I'm sure they've done the analysis on that. But if we have nine of these now and each one of those costs $1 million to put in the stairwell and the fire suppression system, I mean, that's a cost of $9 million. And I think there are 360-plus Walmarts in Florida. If every one of them, and I don't think every one of them would have this service, I mean, now you're looking at, close to $500 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. But I think the premise of your question is that because they are a large company, they can afford to pay it. But I guess I would just counter a little bit with whether they can pay it or not is not the issue. The issue is it just doesn't make sense. I mean, we're talking about a two-story structure with a wide chimney that acts as a weather port, which is very different from a three-story office building with people that are staffing every room and every office of that. I just don't think that when the building code was written back in 1974, they possibly envisioned that you would have a company operating small individual aircraft delivering things. I just think that that's something they couldn't have envisioned back in the 1970s, and we're trying to match the law with the current technology.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you so much, Chair. To that point, why not just go to the Florida Building Code to adapt safety standards for these buildings versus eliminate them completely?
Chair?
You're recognized.
Yeah, so we're not trying to eliminate anything completely. I mean, we're just trying to provide an exemption to a provision of the Florida Building Code, which, as I mentioned in the staff analysis page 4, there's already a long list of precedent for doing that in circumstances that just don't make economic sense, or even, I would argue, like in many cases, just common sense to comply with these provisions of the Building Code that certainly just did not envision the way these structures would be built or used, you know, going on 60 years later. So I don't think it's that we're trying to, get rid of it. It's just providing an exemption to this provision in the Building Code.
Rep. Nixon, did you have another question? You're recognized.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm just still trying to get clarity in regards to the area. So neighborhood Walmarts would be exempt from this?
Rep. Nixon, if I might ask you to rephrase, I think there's two elements of this bill. One is the structures for the drone delivery towers, and the other is where the drones may operate. So if I could just ask you to...
I'm interested in knowing if the drones would they be operating at the neighborhood Walmarts, is what I'm interested in.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. So, you know, the language of the bill is not specifically germane towards Walmart. We're not exempting Walmart from anything. What we are doing is we are defining what a drone port is in statute, and we are adding drone ports to the list of the already long list of buildings exempt from regulation on the Florida Building Commission. So it's not Walmart specific, because I envision that once, you know, Walmart happens to be the pioneer in this in the state of Florida, but I imagine that if this is successful, other companies will follow suit. So it's not necessarily exempting Walmart from anything. It's defining drone ports, and it's adding drone ports to the list of buildings that are exempt from these regulations in the Florida Building Code, if that makes sense.
For a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But to your response to Rep. Edmonds in regards to these possibly not being in neighborhoods and communities, if this is going to be expanded, right, wouldn't it allow businesses that operate within neighborhoods, right, smaller neighborhoods, wouldn't it allow for them to be able to have drones coming in and out? I'm just trying to get clarity on that.
Yeah, sure, Chair.
I might throw you a bone here. So the where drones are allowed to fly, like the flight path, which sounds like is a little bit of a concern that you're identifying here, is preempted already. I don't know if I, does that answer your question? Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, any further questions? Representative Stark, you're recognized.
Good morning, Roach. I have a question in reference to, obviously it's new, and so there may not be as many deliveries currently, but as the project goes along, obviously the goal is for there to be more deliveries. what happens with the number of drones that may be working at one time, and how does that affect, like, the traffic control over the area?
Representative Roach, you are recognized, but first I'll remind members that the flat flight path and altitude and things of this nature are already preempted and heavily, moderately regulated by the FAA. Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm going to continue on that path. So, you know, there are really two categories for these things. And they're divided right now, at least, by what they call line of sight and beyond line of sight. So any drone that's operating or delivering or conducting business beyond line of sight is very heavily regulated by Part 135, Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations. They have to go through a long and arduous sort of certification process. And those are considered, the language for those, they're considered Part 135 applicants is what they're called. And what we're talking about with DroneUp, this company that we're talking about now, they do not operate beyond line of sight. They operate line of sight operations. They are not considered a Part 135 applicant. So their zones do have their drones do have a size and scope limitation on their current operations. I can't tell you chapter and verse what those are, but they are different than the federally regulated Part 135 drones that are operating beyond line of sight and are able to be larger, fly further, and carry heavier payloads. But, you know, the question you ask is a good one, and I think will probably be answered by a future city council, a future county commission, or perhaps a future legislature, because we can't envision right now. We can't know. We can predict. We can speculate on what the scope of this will be. I mean, again, I go back to Lyft and Uber. It's the same thing. I don't think any of us ever envisioned how quickly we would not be using taxis to get from the airport to the Capitol and would be relying on Lyfts and Ubers and the excess traffic that may put on the road. So I don't know how this will evolve in the future. I mean, you know, we may wake up 10 years in a world where we are looking up and it's like, you know, bees circulating and delivering things all over the place. I don't know how that will work. But if we get to that point, I'm sure that a future legislative body, county commission and city council will put regulations in place to try to regulate that traffic. I mean, you think back to, I'm sort of expounding here, but if you think back to the automobile, right, when we first had automobiles on the road, there really was no need for...
Now you're saying that like I would know when the automobile started.
I'll reserve that for Representative Altman. but from what we've all read, you know, when the first sort of motor carriages were invented and operating, they did not have a need for traffic signals and yield signs and traffic engineers, which were timing all of these intersections. And I don't think we have the need for that now, but we may perhaps in the future.
Members, any further questions? We have an amendment. There's just one amendment on this bill by Representative Duggan, which again, our pinch hitter will present for us today. Rep. Roach, you're recognized to explain Amendment 868761.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So some of the things we alluded to in conversation earlier about the sort of fire code and building code, the fire code has adopted parts of the building code, creating the need to exempt a drone port from both. It's just not a clean delineation from fire code and building code. And we talked about the example of the fire sprinkler system and the two separate methods of egress for a three-story building, which are required. So what this bill would do, what this amendment would do, would apply to the fire code and the building code with that exemption, Madam Chair. That is the amendment.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony? Oh, sorry. Representative Hinton, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So again, why should we exempt this from the fire code?
You're recognized, Rep. Roach.
Yep. So the main bill seeks to do is exempt these drone ports from provisions of the building code. Those same provisions of the building code, which we're attempting to exempt in the main bill, have been adopted by the fire code. So they're the same. So if we just pass the bill as it is, it would provide those exemptions from the building code, but those exact same requirements are found in the fire code, so they would still have to comply. It would be kind of meaningless. So what we're doing now is we're ensuring that those regulatory exemptions match on the building code and the fire code. because the building code would require the standalone ladder and also the fire suppression system, and also the fire code has adopted parts of that building code because it relates to fire. So we're trying to make sure that those exemptions match up. It would be it really would not serve any purpose to exempt those provisions just from the building code, but have them still have to comply with the fire code. I hope that's if I'm explaining that correctly.
For a follow-up, Representative Henson, your
record. Thank you. I think we might be presenting this a little premature. Is there an intent to work with codes, coding or code enforcement, building code, fire codes? Do you have an intention of working with codes to get this right so that it will be a standard building that we can depend on for safety?
Representative Roach, this would be a great time to sign up Representative Duggan to work more on building codes. You recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Duggan, if you're watching at home, you are so charged. So you're asking me about, you know, collaboration with the Building Commission. And, you know, I would just say, you know, the Building Commission, the building codes are a creature of statute, a creature of this body. I mean, we write them. We write them and tell them what to enforce. And then the executive branch through the Building Commission would enforce those regulations. So I don't know how to answer your question other than to say, you know, this legislature has already put numerous exemptions to the building code and statute. This would be another one in which we are telling them what our legislative intent is to do. And then, you know, there's if you're getting to, you know, is there still a room for local engagement and zoning and other provisions? Yes, there's still a room for local governments, local jurisdictions to be involved here with this. But what we're trying to do is just standardize a statewide framework for these things to operate in the state of Florida.
Representative Escamani, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you so much, Chairwoman. I know earlier you listed examples of other structures that were exempt from building code. I'm curious, is there any example of one company that's been exempt from the building code like we're doing today?
You're recognized, Rep. Roach.
Thank you. No, but I would also counter by saying that's not what we're doing today. We're not exempting Walmart or DroneUp. You're not going to find those names in the legislation. We are doing two things. We are defining what a drone port is, and we are exempting drone ports from some provisions of the building code, because I mean, certainly would envision that other companies and perhaps other companies are waiting for some regulatory certainty before they enter into this market. I'm certain that other companies will develop their own drone ports, and now those drone ports will have to conform to this definition that we're putting into statute. And we'll build those and seek to operate them as Walmart is doing. But, you know, we're not, the legislation does not specifically mention a particular company. What we're doing are two things. We're defining drone ports and we're providing some exemptions for drone ports in the building code.
Members, seeing no further questions on the amendment, we'll move to public testimony. Is anyone here for public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. Members, any debate on the amendment? Representative Edmonds, you're recognized. You can go first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry about that. Again, I support this bill. Rep. Roach, I think you did a great job presenting someone else's bill today. So kudos to you. I know that we all in Florida care about emerging technology and making life more convenient. Uber was an innovative technology, delivery dudes. It makes customers' experience and convenience a lot easier. My only ask is that when it moves on to different committees that you guys look at ways that residents may have the opportunity to appeal, potentially if they don't want it in their backyard, and also if they can give residents notice that these ports are being built in their backyard, so when they see a drone fly over their house, they're not in fear. We have a lot of elderly in Palm Beach County, and my greatest fear is that they see a drone and they may be freaked out or think it's like a Russian spy balloon, right? So if we can just give notice or place a sign in the community, I think that will be helpful. In addition, if we can also create maybe a criteria for those who are operating the drones, I think it's a great opportunity for maybe the youth or whomever to take place as a drone operator and get paid well. But I also don't want to see someone who maybe is not qualified to operate a drone and maybe crash a drone into someone's window. So if we can just maybe add that into the next committee, I would appreciate it. And again, great job, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other debate on the amendment? Representative, I'll just, we are still on the amendment. You were on a roll. I didn't want to stop you. Representative Roach, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will address your comments on the amendment because they are relevant. So I will just add this, and I should have added this earlier. There is a certification process for someone to operate a drone. Your skill with the video games is not enough. They do have to take a course and get certified and demonstrate proficiency and know the aviation rules of the road for this. So there is a certification process. And then in response to your comment about locals being involved, and this seems to be a consistent theme, I will tell you that local municipalities have expressed some concern about zoning and setbacks through their representatives with the League of Cities. And I think that at the next committee stop, you can expect to see an amendment addressing those concerns on zoning and setbacks that have been, that the locals have wanted to see. So that, my understanding is that that amendment will be forthcoming at the next stop. And with that, I close on the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Roach. Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended, and we do have some public testimony. Jimmy Card, representing DroneUp, is a proponent. You're recognized.
Hi, Jimmy Card, representing DroneUp. Just wanted to address a few of the questions. I think Representative Roach did a great job pinch-hitting today and addressing most of the questions, but I think some of the size questions that you had, Representative Escamani, and the regulation around that, FAA currently regulates the size of the drone to 55 pounds. The drones, the DroneUp is flying, are about 30 by 30 inches. They're Octa drones with 8 propellers, and they're capable of holding, they're 45 pounds, so they're capable of carrying a 10-pound payload. What's interesting is that almost 90% of all packages delivered today by either FedEx or UPS or any other delivery service are less than 9 pounds. So it's a good part of the market. Representative Edmonds, you did mention the size of the port. We and I didn't share the picture with you. I met with most of you, and I shared some conceptual drawings of it. But I believe that it takes up about the size of 2 parking spots in a Walmart parking lot. And while certainly Walmart is the only one with DroneUp doing this today, this is coming to every community in Florida. We're 9 currently, and DroneUp is going to be a large part of that. But getting these policies in place is key to obviously growing this and having an environment that helps all Floridians, because drones are going to be able to deliver packages quickly and efficiently. DroneUp's currently at about 24 minutes from order to delivery. And once those efficiencies are achieved, probably cut that in half. So we're really excited about that. And then Representative Stark, you had a question around how these are flying in the airspace utilization. So all drone up flights and all drone commercial flights have to register in similar to a kind of a flight, flight registration that any pilot would have to do in a plane, follow those same flight plans. They typically fly between 300 and 400 feet in height. When they get to someone's, typically they deliver to the backyard because it's a more safe environment. They drop down to about 80 feet, lower a winch with the box. It releases upon hitting the ground. Drone goes back up to 400 feet and returns to the drone port. So, and it's really important on the drone ports to get to the height. Representative Roach did mention the visual line of sight. So currently they're operating at the ground level, which is challenging. So building the ports will allow some height for the operators to maintain those visual line of sights that's required by the FAA. I don't know if anyone else has any questions for me, but happy to try to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Card. And members, I suspect we have a couple questions of Mr. Card, and I'll just ask that you get in touch afterwards so we can move our committee along this morning. Members, is there anyone else here today in public testimony? Seeing none, we will move into debate. Members in debate. Ranking Member Henson, you're recognized.
Madam Chair, are we still on the amendment?
No, we adopted it.
Okay, sorry.
Swiftly.
Okay. Happy morning this
without objection.
Representative Vinson, you recognize in debate.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. And I understand I'm from a different era. I said that before. However, I understand also that drone technology is evolving very quickly. In fact, in my neighborhood, in my district, a lot of the drone technology was actually developed near my home, actually. My concern, as you said, is about local involvement and the ability for localities to be involved in where these drone ports are built and how they're operated. I understand you say that at the next stop there will be more amendments. I'm going to be down on this today and be very, very involved and engaged in what happens with the amendment. Thank you so much for the presentation, and I do support this overall concept. I just want to make sure that NIMBY, this not in my backyard thing, that we have some involvement and engagement at the local level. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Members in debate, Representative Fabricio, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Roach, I got to tell you, you've certainly done a yeoman's job here today. Stepping in for Representative Dugan, this bill, and there is a pun here, was no easy lift, but you've certainly done very well. More seriously, I like this technology. I think there's a lot of good, and here from the perspective of this transportation committee, I like the fact that we're going to be moving the delivery of these kind of goods to this type of drone technology, and I hope it does. And here's another pun. I hope it does take off. Because what happens is, I live in South Florida, and we have an insurmountable amount of vehicle traffic in South Florida right now. And if we're able to reduce some of that delivery traffic and shift it over to this kind of drone delivery, I think we'll have less traffic on the Palmetto, less traffic in my local roads. I think that's good for everyone. Let's go one more step. And I believe in green technologies. I believe in evolving technologies. But I believe that they should be done at the behest of the market. And I think this is a great way for the market to move into a greener technology, to be using drones rather than cars. And it's being adapted by the market. So I applaud you. I applaud the folks that are behind this. And I ardently support it and look forward to more of this type of legislation. Thank you so much.
Representative Bankson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'm way up on this. That was one of my points as well. This will reduce traffic on the roads, which is a great point. But also in conversation, this may alleviate some concerns. The Florida League of Cities, which of course is a vanguard to support local home rule, my understanding is that they are in support of this, that they've looked through that and that they don't have objection to this. So I am in support. Thank you.
Representative Escamani in debate.
Thank you so much. I did not hear they were in support, so I'm curious about that. I heard they were working on potential amendments. So I'm curious about that because it does intersect with several Central Florida governments that you mentioned in your introduction, Representative. I know it's not your bill, so I do appreciate you taking our questions and trying to answer it. Right now, I see this as a vendor bill, and I understand that it won't just be Walmart. Amazon probably also benefit from it as well. But I need some more evidence on the safety to ensure that I'm not voting for something that's going to make Walmarts or Amazon centers and workers less safe, in addition to the preemption concern. So I feel like those changes can be found in the process, but for now I'm going to be no on it because I do have these safety concerns, and I do think companies like Walmart and Amazon can afford it.
Members, in debate, Representative Lopez. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're going to get the award for best pinch hitter, Representative Roach. I have not seen anything like this in terms of how well prepared you were to present this bill to us. I live, like Representative Fabricio, I live in the Miami area, and I happen to live in the most dense area, the urban area, and drones are flying all around. It's kind of exciting to see it, and I'm thinking how wonderful it would be if a drone could drop right into my balcony and drop my package. Because right now the traffic in Brickell and downtown Miami and in Edgewater, which are parts of my very dense district, are amazingly using these delivery services that are using cars. So I'm very much in favor of this emerging technology and know that, in fact, we will all benefit, particularly in my district. So thank you so much for bringing this bill, and Representative Duggan, it's really going to, I think, change the face of delivery services. Thank you.
Representative Harris, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. I agree that it will help traffic, and I understand this is an emerging technology we cannot stop. My biggest concern is also about safety and also noise pollution. I don't know how loud these drones are, and the small drones, I can hear them when they like buzz by my yard. So I just, as it moves to the next committee stop, I would like to see some more language around where they will be placed, safety concerns and the noise pollution, so that we can make sure that neighborhoods aren't being bombarded with this constant buzzing as packages are being delivered.
Members, anyone else in debate? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. All I ask is, if we're going to take up two parking spots at Walmart, that we add in more parking at Walmart, okay? I'm so serious. I have a hard time finding spots sometimes.
All right, see no further debate. Representative Roach, you're recognized to close, and you're also encouraged to include a list of demands for Representative Duggan for having done a real lift on this bill today.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would encourage you all to come up with your hardest, most intense, technical, complicated questions for Chair Duggan at the next committee meeting as a way of thanking him for starting my Friday morning off with this bill. Representative Edmonds, I would say that keep in mind, if you have the drone delivery service, you might not have to need to go to Walmart and park at all. So there may be more parking spots by less people going to Walmart. And I would end on this. Thank you for your graciousness in allowing me to present and pinch hit, and thank you for the questions. And I apologize to the House staff for knocking things over and spilling coffee on the floor. If you think back, and I know I keep using sort of Lyft and Uber as examples, but when you think back about that emerging technology and you think about what we're doing here, I mean, certainly there will be more issues, more questions, and more complications that will have to be resolved by this body and others in the future. And, some legislature in the future is going to have to deal with driverless cars, and some legislature in the near future, a distant future, may have to deal with, like, teleportation issues and all kinds of technology. Who knows? You're not going to come up with all the answers in this piece of legislation. Admittedly, this is just a first step to bring some regulatory standardization statewide to make it feasible for these companies to operate with this emerging technology. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair. Close.
Thank you, Representative Roach. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade is excused. Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
No.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Hinson?
No.
Lopez?
Yes.
Mello is excused. Michael?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
13 yeas, 3 nays, Madam Chair.
By your vote, members, HB 1071 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Roach. Sergeant, I don't know if we need to take a break to restore all of Representative Roach's belongings. But next up, we will have HB 645 by Representative Brackett, Unmanned Aircraft Systems. Representative Brackett, you are recognized to explain House Bill 645 and continue the drone morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I was going to try to give my book to Representative Roach, let him just continue on the drone discussion. He was doing such a good job. House Bill 645 simply adds Florida's deep seaports to the list of local critical infrastructure facilities where law enforcement can prohibit and protect for personal use of drones. That is my bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Brackett. Are there questions on the bill? We have one amendment. Amendment number one by Representative Brackett. Representative Brackett, you're recognized to explain Amendment 745001.
The amendment simply is, going through the research of this, we found out that in Florida statutes, there wasn't enough critical infrastructures in different parts of the statute. We wanted to consolidate it with staff, and so we did that, and so we've added that to the part of the amendment also.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony? Michael Rubin, representing Florida Ports Council, is a proponent. Waiving in support. Carlosita Collins, with representing Carnival Port Authority, waiving in support. And Derek McGee, representing the Florida Airports Council, is waiving in support of the bill. Waiving in support of the amendment. Any questions on the... we're going to move right on to debate on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Rep. Brackett, I'll just commend you on bringing this amendment. As we were working on this bill, it was alarming to me that how paltry our definition of critical infrastructure was across Florida statute. And as we think about what critical infrastructure means from a cybersecurity standpoint, from a physical standpoint, you've created yourself as a leader in critical infrastructure security from the perspective today of drones, but I appreciate your attention and leadership on this. Members, do we have any objections on the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted, and we are back on the bill as amended. Moving into public testimony on the bill as amended. Derek McGee, representing Florida Airports Council, waives in support. Michael Rubin with Florida Ports Council, waiving in support. Thank you, sir. Jeffrey Branch, the Florida League of Cities, waiving in support of the bill. Adam Bassford with Associated Industries of Florida, waiving in support of the bill. Carlosita Collins, representing Canaveral Port Authority, also waiving in support of the bill. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Is there any debate? Representative Brackett, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll waive close.
Thank you. Representative Brackett, for a great bill today. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade is excused. Arrington? Yes. Benson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Melo is excused. Michael?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
By your vote, HB 645 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Brackett. All right, members, we will now shift to HB 965 by Representatives Gottlieb and Arrington, presented today by Representative Arrington. Representative Arrington, you are recognized to explain House Bill 965.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Fabricio, and Ranking Member Hinson, and other members of the committee. Today, I come before you asking for your support of HB 965. This bill creates a $1 voluntary contribution on the motor vehicle registration application for Best Buddies International. The bill also creates a $1 or more voluntary contribution for Best Buddies International for the driver's license and identification card application. Best Buddies International is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It's the world's largest organization dedicated to ending the social, physical, and economic isolation of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Its programs empower the special abilities of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities by helping them form meaningful friendships with their peers, secure successful jobs, live independently, improve public speaking, self-advocacy, and communication skills, and feel valued by society. This bill will allow Floridians the opportunity to make a contribution to Best Buddies International when they register a vehicle, renew their registration, or apply for their driver's license. That's the bill, Madam Chair, and thank you for adding it to today's agenda. And thank you to my colleague, Representative Gottlieb, for allowing me to prime co-sponsor and present this good bill this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Representative Arrington. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, any amendments? We have no amendments. And public testimony. I have no appearance cards, but is anyone here today for Best Buddies? Okay. Members, anyone in debate? Representative Escamani.
As a state chairwoman, we are all here for best buddies. And so thank you for getting the bill. Thank you for your leadership on the bill. Really, really love seeing it. And this is an organization that deserves all of our support.
Representative Smith and Bate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to, again, express my appreciations for you running this bill. It has been my pleasure over the last couple of years to have run and successfully run appropriations bills for Best Buddies and get funding into our schools. This is a great program. It's been money well spent by Floridians, especially if you when you see bullying and that type of tactics that can go on in our schools. But to help these young men and women, it's a great investment by Florida. Thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Members, anyone else in debate? Oh, Representative Evans, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Arrington, thank you for bringing this bill about. Many residents always ask me, what are we doing about kids who have disabilities and how are we going to support them? I think this is a perfect bill to help show them that we support them and we truly care. So thank you for all that you do in presenting this bill today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Arrington, thank you for highlighting such a great organization and my appreciation to Representative Gottlieb, too, for bringing their voice here to the Florida House. With that, Representative Arrington, you were recognized to close on your excellent bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks again for adding it to today's agenda, and thank you to Representative Gottlieb for bringing it forward. I appreciate you, Representative Smith, for your comments and also your support of Best Buddies International. And I encourage everyone, when you go and renew your driver's license or registration, to go ahead and put your money where your mouth is and go ahead and do a dollar or more contribution to them to show them additional support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Arrington. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade is excused. Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio? Yes. Harris?
Absolutely.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Melo is excused. Michael?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, HB 965 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Arrington. Next, we will hear House Bill 937 by Representative Tribolsi, presented today by our own Representative Bankson. Representative Bankson, you are recognized to explain House Bill 937.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members and staff as well. It's a pleasure to present this bill on behalf of Representative Tribolsi as a prime co-sponsor. HB 937 seeks to clarify language around temporary airports. For over a decade, the Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT, has utilized a rule, Chapter 14-60.005, Part 7C, Florida Administrative Code, to expedite the process for temporary airports. However, FDOT did an internal review and realized that their rule exceeded statutory authority. This bill seeks to codify that rule in statute and address ambiguity in the law related to temporary airports. I look forward to your questions and debate. I anticipate clear skies and moderate turbulence. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Bankson. Members, are there any questions for Representative Bankson? Representative Bankson, is this your first bill?
No, I did have one yesterday.
Just checking. We do have one amendment today, Amendment Barcode 951849 by Representative Tribolsi. Representative Bankson, I understand you're going to present it for her today.
Yes, as well.
You're recognized.
There are three key points. This amendment seeks to clarify that FDOT must provide notice in the Florida Administrative Registration, or FAR, only after a temporary airport application is deemed complete. Often when an agency receives an application, it's only a portion of the application, and the agency works with the applicant to gather all required information, at which point the agency deems the application is complete. So this amendment, number one, clarifies that the FAR notice is only triggered when the application is deemed complete and not upon receipt of a potentially incomplete application. Secondarily, this amendment extends the time from 14 days to 30 days for FDOT to make a decision on whether to approve or deny an application. Currently, the law gives FDOT a maximum application review time of 90 days. The bill brings this review time down and down to 14 days, which is too short of a time frame. So the need for the amendment is to provide a reasonable maximum review time of 30 days for application review, which FDOT has agreed to. Lastly, this amendment specifies that an applicant or an application is deemed approved if the agency fails to act within the maximum 30 days. The language in this bill regarding deeming the application complete is consistent with the language in Chapter 120 Florida Statute, the Administrative Procedure Act, relating to deeming an application complete if the agency does go past the maximum allowed review time. Madam Chair, that is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Banks. And members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we will move into public testimony. Is anyone here to testify on the amendment? Seeing none, members, we're in debate on the amendment. Representative Banks, and you're recognized to close on your amendment, Rep. Tribolsi's amendment. Representative Hinson, you're recognized.
Just a simple thank you to Film Florida for reaching out to me to teach me what a temporary airport really is.
Representative Banks, and you're recognized to close on Rep. Tribolsi's amendment.
I do wave close.
Okay, members, any objection to the amendment? Without objection, we will show that amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended and into public testimony on the bill as amended. Edward Briggs, representing Tampa Hillsborough Film and Digital Media Commission, waiving in support of the bill. Anyone else here today in public testimony? All right. Members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. We have no debate here, members.
You scared me with Rep. Roach, so thank you.
Representative Banks, and you're recognized to close.
Okay, thank you. This is an interesting amendment because it was brought to our attention because of the film industry. And there was a major film actually in production that ran into this issue once there was a realization that this was beyond statute. So this just brings it into line. This has also not been updated since 1947, and a lot has happened since then. So this is a great chance for us to do that. Thank you again for the opportunity to co-pilot this bill before you on behalf of Representative Tribolsi as a prime co-sponsor. I anticipate an on-time arrival with no delays. With your help, this bill should fly through all its committee stops and land safely on the governor's desk for passage. All puns intended. I ask for your favorable support of this bill, and with that, I close. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Banks. And Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade is excused. Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris?
Roger that.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Mello is excused. Michael?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
By your vote, HB 937 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Banks and Rep. Tribolsi. Great job today, members. I really appreciate the engagement on a Friday morning. We will be back next week. We meet on Wednesday of next week, and we will hopefully have another full agenda. So bring your questions. Have a great weekend. Members, this includes our committee agenda. See no further business before the committee. Representative Lopez moves, we rise.